Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
You've reached the Every Little Thing helpline. Please leave your message after the tone.
Hey, Flora, this is Taylor, you know, from last week's episode. I have another food-related factual emergency. Can you call me back?
Hello?
Hey, Taylor. It's Flora from ELT again.
Hey, Flora.
So, last week you called in with a question about ancient food and what ancient people ate.
Mm-hmm.
And we covered the Browntown waterfront. There was Viking poop, your dad's habit of munching month-old meatballs, double dragoning.
Yeah, yeah.
And Taylor, I feel like we did a good job answering your questions.
Yeah, like a surprisingly good job.
So why are you calling me now?
Well, I mean, I always have more questions. And this came from my dad and I talking about giant squid when we were watching a documentary about the first crew of scientists to get live footage of a giant squid. And the giant squid attacked the camera, and the scientists like pulled up the camera and it had this giant, you know, 20-foot long tentacle attached to it. So my dad and I were speculating, you know, what are the odds that one of them whipped out a pocket knife and had a little giant squid sashimi?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking, what other weird things could you eat? And I was thinking about mammoth corpses coming out of the tundra. They've been frozen for thousands of years. Think anybody ever sliced a little bit off and roasted it over the fire?
You want to know if anyone has roasted some Ice Age beast and eaten it for dinner.
Yeah, yeah. Ice Age red meat. Is it a thing?
All right. Dust off your fur toga, Taylor, because this isn't just a scene from Clan of the Cave Bear.
Okay.
That meal happened.
We had a stew made out of a Pleistocene bison mummy.
No way.
That's Mary Lee Guthrie.
I did the cooking.
All right.
And here's how that stew got simmering. It was 1979. Mary Lee and her husband Dale were living in Fairbanks, Alaska. Dale was working as a paleontologist at the University of Fairbanks when he got a call. A gold miner working nearby was spraying the icy muck with a giant hose when he saw something strange. A set of hooves.
Ooh.
So the miner needed backup, and Dale, the local expert on Ice Age animals, went to investigate, and he roped in Mary Lee.
I remember going out to the mine. You move from a beautiful, sunny boreal forest day with speckled light and the trees and warmth and enter the shadow of this damp, cool wall of thawing sediments, redolent with a unique odor.
Oof.
Is your mouth watering yet?
I'm more feeling the retching. Redolent with a unique odor. That's a phrase.
Yeah, unique was Mary Lee being nice to the odor.
Yeah.
Dale described it in a book as a rich, pungent rottenness.
Mmm, yeah.
A rottenness aged for millennia in the frost. Not a stench, but a sweet, intense tang.
I don't know of anything that's like it. It's very evocative.
So Dale and Mary Lee were at the mine, awash in this evocative tang, when they saw it. This find was astonishing. This was a full-on Ice Age mummy from at least 50,000 years ago.
50,000 years old?
Yeah, it was a steppe bison, an extinct species that roamed Alaska before humans did.
Wow.
And it was fully preserved. It had its soft tissue, fur, meat, all the things that are usually gone from ancient remains.
Amazing.
A paleontologist we talked to said this is one of the most famous finds in North America.
Yeah, this is a career-making opportunity here.
So Dale and Mary Lee slowly dug out this ancient animal by hand.
you can imagine maybe a roadkill of a large mammal, well squashed, with just a few hooves and a few pieces of heavy skin tissue, and then a few more feathery, like sinews or muscle fibers feathered out.
Now is your mouth watering.
Absolutely. This just sounds like the thing that I am shopping for in the grocery store every day and never seem to find.
I'm looking for a well-squashed cut of meat.
I'd like a steak, but if it could be well-squashed, please.
And if you could feather it while you're at it.
But just the sinews.
We've got a picture for you. We're going to send it, and we will put it on Instagram at ELT Show.
Okay. Whoa. All I'm seeing is like a rock wall.
That's not a rock wall.
Oh, is that its skin? Oh, this looks like a muddy, horrible, terrible thing to want to eat. I guess it kind of looks like an elephant or rhino skin, maybe. There's some little hair near the bottom part. And there's these little, like, it's like polka dotted with these, like, bluish, grayish lumps. I don't know. I mean, if this is skin, I guess it's covered in moles.
I'm going to let Mary Lee explain.
As the bison emerged, one of the things that happened was a beautiful, almost a lapis blue crystal formation started across the surface, almost like a case of blue wort.
Wow. So those are crystals.
Yeah.
Crystals of what? Ice or minerals?
The crystals were a result of a chemical reaction between the bison and the silt. And then they turned blue when they were exposed to air.
Nobody had really expected that to happen so rapidly, so that was neat.
Whoa. So how quickly does that happen?
They watched the skin turn that color before their eyes.
That is freaking awesome.
I know. And that blue color is how the mummy got its name.
Blue Babe.
Blue Babe. Isn't there like an old fairy tale with a giant ox named Blue?
Yes. It's Paul Bunyan's sidekick.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, Paul Bunyan.
It took Dale and Mary Lee about a week to dig out every last morsel. And then they got to work figuring out everything they could about this ancient animal. And they had lots of questions. Like, for one, how did Blue Babe die? Do you have any guesses?
Well, based on its solid state of preservation, I'm going to say it, like, was in a mudslide or, like, fell into some kind of, like, quicksand or something.
Yeah, Dale thought maybe it died of illness or something else that would explain why it was so intact. But then they found some clues.
Ooh.
Claw marks in the hide and puncture wounds over the snout. And that was the giveaway.
The finding of paired puncture marks in the nose of the bison was like, oh my God, there's not much that can make those kind of paired puncture marks, and not much that would make puncture marks in the snout that way other than a large feline.
Ooh.
Blue Babe had been attacked by a very big cat.
Saber-toothed tiger?
Close.
A Pleistocene lion.
Whoa.
The way that lions kill something that's large is they bite over the snout and hold that bite as the animal suffocates.
Wow. That is not something I've ever heard David Attenberg talk about.
I know. It's almost too dark.
Yeah. Wait. Why didn't the lions consume more of it? Why is there so much left?
Yeah. So Dale's hypothesis was that they killed Blue Babe when it was chilly, like in late fall or early winter. The lions had a couple meals, and then it got so cold that they couldn't rip off any more meat.
Yeah.
In fact, they found a tooth chip from a lion in the hide.
Oh, this is the best Pleistocene murder mystery ever. Like, all the clues still intact? Amazing.
After they had scoured Blue Babe for every last clue, they had the mummy taxidermied for the university museum and then stashed the leftovers in the university freezer. So how did that 50,000-year-old bison meat make its way from the freezer to the menu?
Yeah, I mean, who decided to cook it? How did they decide to cook it? And, well, I really want to know how it tasted. That's the real key question here.
I agree. And you will get that answer after the break. Taylor, are you ready to hear how a 50,000-year-old, wart-covered, roadkill-resembling steppe bison mummy ended up in a soup bowl?
I'm in.
So Mary Lee said that Dale had this idea to eat the bison in his head for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It might not fly today, but it's also not totally unheard of to eat your discoveries. There are stories of other scientists in Siberia doing this with mammoths. And Dale and the team had some bison meat left over after taxidermying. So they were kind of like, why not?
Everybody wanted to taste it, right? So that's what we did.
Mary Lee was in charge of menu planning, and as host, she had a concern for her guests.
Well, let me put it this way. Their hunger would not be satisfied by the volume of the stew they were going to be willing to eat. We were going to have a lot of garlic bread and salad and other things.
And, of course, libations.
I remember there was quite a bit of drinking involved. We had some Russians and Finns, so there was a lot of alcohol involved.
If you were going to tell me in advance that this is what I was going to eat for dinner, I might also need some vodka or aquavit to make that happen.
Yeah. I asked Mary Lee if she was nervous about eating it.
No. No. It was boiled. In addition to being frozen for how many millennia.
What cut did you use?
I think it was a piece of neck meat.
Was there a spice rub involved?
No spice rub.
Mary Lee said they made it into a stew.
Are we talking like, pot roast, or are we thinking more on the, pozole side of stew?
You're like a true foodie, concerned with what type of stew was it?
Yes, yeah.
So here's the recipe.
Mushrooms, garlic, onion, celery, all the basics, you know. I think it was potato rather than barley for the starch, and quite a bit of a pretty good wine, if I recall, but that wasn't enough.
What does it taste like? How did it taste? Come on.
It was a good stew, and then we put the bison in. I can tell you the fruity notes or whatever in the wine were totally clobbered by the silty meat. And the texture also, you know, if you've ever lost anything in your freezer for 10 years, you know that kind of dehydrates. And so, you know, it basically wrecked the soup.
One guest described the flavor as a mixture between an old barnhouse for cows and mud.
Did they forget to, like, wash the meat before they put it in there?
I don't think you can wash 50,000 years out. But apparently the main course with the unique odor didn't seem to dampen anyone's mood.
It was a great sense of celebration, enjoying a moment as a type of communion, right? The stew was the symbol of this deep past and the present work that these guys were engaged in and the longer work of imagining the human experience on Earth.
Yeah, I love that. That it's both celebratory and goofy, but also this like very deep, meaningful experience of connection with something so old and like a whole world that just doesn't exist anymore. Yeah, that's really cool. I like that idea.
I think it was both holy and a joke at the same time, which is the paradox of the really good stuff.
Would you eat the bison mummy if it were served to you?
Yeah. Oh, I think I would pay money to take a taste of it, yeah. And I probably wouldn't like it, but I want to be able to say I tried everything once at least.
Really?
Yeah, get it up in that soup hole.
Before we go, I want to shout out a new podcast. It's hosted by the one and only Jorge Just, ELT editor and guest host. And it is completely batshit and utterly fabulous. It's called Dysfunctional Family Storytime. It's about families that yell, that argue, families that pick apart the seams meant to hold them together. Basically, families like yours and mine. You do not want to miss it. Go check it out on Spotify. This episode was produced by Phoebe Flanagan, Hadley Robinson, Jahi Whitehead, Stephanie Werner, Annette Heist, and me, Flora Lichtman. It was edited by Jorge Just and Caitlin Kenny, and mixed by Dara Hirsch. Thanks to Doug Barron and Nicole Pasulka. And as this year comes to a close, I also just want to take a minute to thank the small army of people who have helped us get this show out over the course of the year. Patient tech support provided by Zach Schmidt, Paul Bowman, and Christian Abreu. Our bunny ear show art was designed by Talia Rockman and Elise Harvin. Every week, you hear the musical masterpieces, sonic stylings, and occasional vocal virtuosities of Dara Hirsch, Bobby Lord, So Wiley, Emma Munger, Billy Libby, Peter Leonard, and Matt Bowl. And many thanks to Enoch Kim, Liz Fulton, Clara Sankey, Josh Bianchi, Jen Hahn, Sam Walters, Valentina Powers, and Lydia Polgreen. Thanks also to all of the fabulous experts who shared their knowledge with us and bit their tongues at the horrible puns. And finally, thank you to you. We could not make this show without you, our listeners. Thank you for listening, for calling, and for sharing your stories with us all year long. If you have a burning question, you know where to find us, 833-RING-ELT. Have a safe and happy new year.
Goodbye.
Okay, Flora, we just as a family listened to the episode about... toxic floss. We were like literally in the car driving home to have butternut squash soup for dinner. And now my children are traumatized for life. Thank you so much for this.